welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Political Cesspool radio program. It is Saturday evening, July 23rd. As we come to you live tonight from our flagship radio station, AM 1380, WLRM Radio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. Also going out to our newest affiliate station, AM 1600, WMQM. And from St. Helens, Oregon, all the way down to Central Florida, we are broadcasting tonight to the AM and FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. And of course, we are simulcasting online to a global audience at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. Let me tell you something, folks, as I am joined in the studio tonight by none other than my loyal and faithful co-host, Keith Alexander. We have a very, very busy show for you tonight. The bombing there in Oslo, Norway, kind of sent the agenda askew this evening. So if we can't get to all of the good stories that have been posted to our website this week, you're just going to have to make a pit stop by our official internet headquarters and read them for yourselves. All kind of, you know, crazy stuff going on in the world. Apparently, Keith, Jessica Alba has found out that she's white. Glenn Beck has found out that he's a Jew. And Rob Grill has passed away. And I guess, you know, we got to get to matters of grave significance first. You know, I'm a big oldies fan. And so it's with a heavy heart that I have to report to our fans tonight that Rob Grill, you're probably asking who Rob Grill is. Lead singer of the Grassroots. You're probably asking who are the Grassroots. But no, Rob Grill of the Grassroots passes away in Florida last week, 67. And ironically enough, at the moment of his passing, his family reported that he was listening to one of his own greatest hits, Let's Live for Today. So anyway, Keith, these guys are going fast. They're kind of like World War II veterans, I guess. You know, these oldies guys from the 60s just They're dropping quickly, but a man whose voice recorded much of the soundtrack of that decade, gone, and may he rest in peace as we kick off the show tonight. So, you know, we had to do our little public service for Rob Grill there, Keith.
Yeah, with all the drugs that these guys ingested, along with alcohol and various STDs, there's no telling. I doubt whether they'll be going into the next century. We're not going to have any 100-year-old plus rock stars from the 60s, I doubt. And they seem to be falling in the 60s. This guy was what, 67? Was that?
That's right. Yeah,
right. You know, it's rare to find one that's making it past 70 now. But
Frankie. You know, Frankie's still alive.
Oh yeah, Frankie, of course, is our evergreen man. He's the one that keeps making the circuit and making the money and pleasing the fans. And you know, he's giving a great show now, even though he's in his 70s, right?
Well, he is, Keith, and I guess at some point, you know, we always do like to kick off the show with a little light banter, and I guess we better get down to some matters of political importance tonight. But, you know, we're going to salute rock legends when we have to. You know, we like good music. We like the old stuff. We don't like the new stuff. But, you know, Keith, you got to speaking of fans and this, that, and the other, you got a very nice piece of fan mail here this week. We saw it come in. Keith is awesome, with the awesome all capitalized and a few exclamation points thereafter, talking about how you're a perfect co-host because you bring the one thing people can trust and believe no matter what it is, and that is accurate history, good old-fashioned documented history. And then it goes on to talk about what a great teacher you are and how your specialty as a member of the co-hosting staff is to kind of be the teacher of the group. You know, each member of the staff, be it Bill Rowland, Winston Smith, Eddie Miller, myself or you, we all bring a little different flair and flavor to the broadcast. But, you know, this is something I've always said about our fans on this show. They are very, very perceptive and, of course, very, very generous in their compliments and praise. And so we thank Chris for that comment, one of course, many emails we fielded this week. And I know, Keith, that always makes you happy. The teacher, Keith Alexander. And what are you going to teach us tonight, my friend?
I've got several articles. By the way, I want to thank Chris. It's very humbling and flattering to get these type of emails, and we really do appreciate them. Thank you very much, and we're going to take your suggestions to heart and see if we can work out something along the lines of what you suggested. But we're again doing the Behind Enemy Lines segment where we scan the local news, the local newspapers here in Memphis, and we try to find out the buried, hidden, pernicious, sinister, but subtle liberal slant and evidence of liberal brainwashing that just is inevitable in today's world. And we've got several of them on tap for you tonight. Hope everybody enjoys them. Don't want to let the cat out of the bag. How much time have we got left now?
You got enough time to start.
Okay, well, let me start with one of them. This is from the Memphis Flyer, which is the weekly far-left rag in Memphis. This is from the July 21st to 27th edition, which is this past week. And this is on page 10. It's entitled Convenient Truth. It's a recurring segment called Spotlight by somebody named Lewis Goggins. And the Convenient Truth, it says, regional universities celebrate or collaborate on global warming education. And it starts out, Al Gore would be proud. Three area universities, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and the University of Alabama, are working together to improve global climate change education. The Climate Literacy Partnership in the Southeast United States, or CLIPSA, that's the new acronym they have for it, will survey students and teachers in the Mid-South on their understanding of climate change and provide them with a more accurate perspective. Now, why would they assume they have an inaccurate perspective? That's the first question that comes to mind, or should come to mind. And, of course, they have an inaccurate perspective, probably because they're from here in the heart of Red State America. CLIPSA will also help future science educators learn how to apply climate change education in the classroom. The first goal of the 15-member CLIPSA group involves building a network of people who are responsible for educating the public about climate change. They're working educators at grade schools, universities, nature centers, museums, and churches throughout the Southeast. David Rutherford, assistant professor of public policy leadership at Ole Miss, now again, you know, not science, not biology, not meteorology, but public policy leadership, that should be a key right there, said CLIPSA will improve the information that organizations are dispensing to the public. We want to have a better educated public about climate questions, climate systems, how climates are changing, and what effect that's going to have on our environment, our society, and how we conduct our lives. Now, that's really ominous, that last phrase right there, said Rutherford, a co-principal investigator of CLIPSA. The program is funded by a $1 million grant by the National Science Foundation's Climate Change Education Partnership. The two-year grant will pay for phase one of CLIPSA, which began last September. Now, we'll get back to this after these words from our sponsor.
Stay tuned, everybody. James and Keith, Political Cesspool, back in a flash.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. I want to thank you for tuning in to our award-winning broadcast this evening. James Edwards and Keith Alexander hosting the first hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. As I mentioned at the top of the show, very busy program this evening. We are, you know, typically we like to cover a lot of the news that we have posted for you at our website throughout the week on each Saturday night broadcast. Tonight, due to the busy nature of the show, we are not going to be able to get to a lot of those articles. And I tell you, you know, Keith, as I've mentioned over the course of the last several weeks, continue to break our own records there with regards to traffic on our website. And of course, as you well know, Keith, the comments are certainly blasting off too. And we would like to get to a lot of these articles. We're just not going to be able to. You know, Winston Smith, one of our co-hosts, has been dealing with a medical ailment. Yeah, malaise, right. And so he hasn't been able to join us on air over the course of the last couple of months. We hope that he gets that rectified in short order. But the man can still type, and he provides a little assistance to me on the blog, hammering out a couple of articles each week. And he has two beauties that I want you to visit when you get the opportunity. One deals, and it's titled, Mexican Drug Gangs Better Armed, Thanks to Barack Obama and Eric Holder. That is a very interesting story that Winston found and provided its commentary on. And secondly, a new story from Australia. Apparently, Muslims in Australia are demanding that the Aussies obey Islamic law. So just two more reasons to go to thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight. Check out Winston Smith's columns that have been featured there for the course of the past couple of days. Always an interesting and enjoyable read. Now, Keith, right before that last commercial break, you were sharing with our audience a story that you found from the weekly throwaway fish wrap, the Memphis Flyer. Get back to where you were leaving off, and then, by all means, get into your excellent opinion and analysis.
Let me do the wraps on this. This is reading from the article now. It says, in phase one, the group will work towards gathering a local network of climate change experts. Phase two, for which the group is creating a grant proposal, involves supplementing climate change education across the Southeast. Part of that will involve the creation of a website with lesson plans for teachers. Karen McNeil, principal investigator of CLPSA, an assistant professor of geosciences at Mississippi State, said she hopes the program will help people find answers to climate questions. Now, this is subtle but sinister. It's, you know, I love these names like CLPSA. It's like it's out of James Bond or like Our Man Flint, where they had Zowie, which turned out to be an actual internationalist group organization, or the man from Uncle. You know, we have these names like CLPSA. Well, whenever you hear a name like that, your antenna ought to go up. Have you ever heard of the phrase change agents? That's what this is about. The change agents are being created through education. It's like Adolf Hitler said. He said, if the adults don't go with us, it doesn't matter. We already have their children. The left. And, of course, Adolf Hitler was a leftist. He was a national socialist. The communists were the international socialists. He's not the right-wing bogeyman that all of these people, you know, all the history professors and the media and the establishment want you to believe. He was a leftist. Well, just like Hitler, today's liberals, today's cultural Marxists have captured our children. You know, like Allen Ginsberg, the perverted Jewish poet of, you know, radical leftist and pervert, said in the 60s, we will steal your children. This is what they're intending to do. They're intending to make sure they don't get any offbeat, non-kosher, actual true ideas about global warming, such as global warming is a bunch of hooey. Nothing that mankind does or men do or women do is going to affect the ebb and flow of our climate. We have global warming all the time, and we have global cooling all the time. That's why we had ice ages, global cooling, and we had global warming when the ice fields retreated. This has been going on for time immemorial, and we had no internal combustion engines or other or coal-burning factories or power plants to contribute to all of that. But the left basically wants to steal the Western way of life, the first world lifestyle from us, and to get money from us to give to the third world. And this is a great dodge, a great cover for doing this. And they're going to implement it through brainwashing. They're going to, you know, and what this shows, this is Mississippi State, the University of Alabama, and Ole Miss that is being co-opted here. So that shows you that all of those colleges, once stout-hearted bastions of conservatism, are now enemy-occupied territory, James. The left is fully ensconced, fully in control, and they're using them, they're using these institutions just like the cultural Marxists predicted they would do it. They have they've had the long march through the institutions. They've gone through these institutions. They've placed their change agents in charge, and now they're going to use their prestige and their power and their wealth to advance the revolution. And part of the revolution is that they don't want you. How dare Americans think that they ought to have air conditioning cooling them in the summer, heaters warming them in the winter, and automobiles to drive around in to their heart's content. Why should Americans, the slovenly, low-down people that we are, have cheaper gas than Germans? Why should we have a higher standard of living than Indonesians? This is what's behind the left-wing environmentalist movement. And the environmentalist movement is part of liberalism just as much as the civil rights movement, just as much as radical feminism, just as much as the homosexual rights movement. And what if there's one thing that we would like to drive home to our listening audience, it's this. All of these things are pernicious. All of these things are part of the same zeitgeist and worldview and ultimately plan to bring down the traditional way of life that we've come to enjoy here in the West, in Europe, in Australia, in New Zealand, in America. And the benefits that the West has brought to the rest of the world, telephones, computers, air conditioning, you name it, electricity, that stuff apparently forget about that. That's all a mirage. Actually, the West has been a pernicious influence on the world, a pernicious influence on the people of the world, and the left is busy trying to dismantle and debunk us and to bring us down. And this is one of the key ways they're going to do it. This is the way they steal your wealth. This is the way they steal your lifestyle. This is the way they achieve what one world socialists have been striving for since the days of the Fabian Society back in the 19th century, which is one world socialist government with the equalization of incomes throughout the world. And here we have, a typical leftist rag. You have these in most major metropolitan areas. Unfortunately, Memphis is a major metropolitan area, so we have one, where all the burned-out, drug-sodden hippies of the 60s have found refuge in a way to make some money. This particular newspaper exists almost exclusively because they get advertising from strip clubs in Memphis. If they had no strip clubs, there would be no Memphis Flyer, and quite frankly, that's a great argument for ending strip clubs, James.
Hey, kids, that's lesson number one from Professor Alexander tonight. Stay tuned, folks. We're going to take a quick commercial break, a word from our sponsors, and then we will be back with more. We're just getting started tonight on the Political Cesspool Radio program.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Everybody, if you only knew what Keith Alexander and I were talking about, I tell you, the commercial breaks are, without a doubt, the most lively time of the three-hour period we have with you each Saturday evening. And the only drawback is you aren't able to see what goes on during the commercial breaks yet. And as you know, Keith, we are working in cooperation with our good friend Richard Spencer and the National Policy Institute. Hopefully within the next couple of weeks, next few weeks, we will be broadcasting a live video stream from inside WLRM Studios, inside at least our the Political Cesspools studio inside WLRM Radio. Live video of the show in progress every Saturday night, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., our live broadcast hours. In addition to be able to hear it, you're going to be able to see it once we work out all the bugs. And as it turns out, we're working on a trial run of this right now. It's just not public. But I'm telling you, folks, this is something to be very, very excited about. We're excited about it. Political Cesspool always finding ways to better our brand and evolve our product as we continue to grow and reach more and more political acclaim and headlines. I tell you, we've got our fingers in a lot of pies right now. You know, Keith and I were just talking about it during the commercial break. In addition to this project with Richard, of course, we've got several speaking engagements coming up this fall, not the least of which being the National Policy Institute's conference in Washington, D.C., September 9th through the 11th. I'll be speaking at the National Press Club along with our friends Peter Brimelow and Jared Taylor. And then, of course, the conference itself is that Saturday, September 10th. Folks, if you take one trip this year, one trip next year, let it be this trip, and you can get all the information that you need at npiconferences.com, npiconferences.com. And, of course, every Sunday on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, we're putting a good plug and promo for that. So you got the conference coming up in September. You got the live video feed from inside the Political Cesspool studio here at WLRM Radio. And those are just two of about a half a dozen things that we're working on behind the scenes and that we will unveil to you as the year rolls on. Folks, exciting times afoot here in the Political Cesspool radio program. Hang on tight. Buckle up. We look forward to bringing it to you. You know what you get each and every week. We're always looking to make it better. And Keith, that's just the announcement for now.
Well, this is going to be quite a development now. Of course, you're going to have to change your style totally. No more ticks, no more inappropriate bodily scratching, and since you're going to be on camera. And
we're cussing during the commercial breaks.
Right.
Is there any... I have to wear something other than, you know, pajamas in the studio, but we'll get it worked out.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's no truth to the rumor that you're going to wear a Speedo for the first episode.
If the price is right, Keith.
And the price, I'm sure the bidding will go against it. Well, let's get back to behind enemy lines, James. Memphis made national news this week regarding its public school system, which was threatening, the Memphis school board was threatening to shut the mother down and not allow school to start in early August, which it was slated to do, unless the Memphis City Council coughed up a cool 55 million smackaroos, which they are supposedly due because the previous black mayor of Memphis decided that the way to balance the budget was to cut out the city of Memphis's contribution to the Memphis school system budget. Now, Memphis, as you know, for a little bit of background for people, is a unique municipality in Tennessee. It's the only major city in Memphis, in Tennessee, that has a black majority. And as a result, we're on the cutting edge of societal evolutionary change, as the left would put it. And unfortunately, most of this change is bad, and the left is constantly trying to disguise what's actually going on here, but we're sitting here at ground zero. We feel like Raymond Burr after Godzilla passed through Tokyo, and we see all the problems that and the decay and the decline that comes from our enviable position of enjoying multiculturalism and diversity to such an extent as we do here in Memphis. And as the United States becomes increasingly minority in its population, I think 2042 is the target year when whites will become a minority in America. We also have the advantage of being able to tell the rest of the nation what it has in store for it in the future. So one of the things that happened to Memphis as a result of its status as a majority-minority city is that public education has gone to hell in a handbasket. You know, that's a polite way of putting it, but basically, all the changes that were predicted by the conservatives in Brown versus Board of Education have come to fruition here in Memphis. There's an article in another free weekly newspaper called the Memphis News, which basically is like an old age home for former liberal newspaper people who have gotten the boot down at the Commercial Appeal. Of course, you know, they were selling.
They had high standards there.
Well, no, what they did was they had, you know, all these were liberals who were celebrating diversity as they hired black people onto the newspaper. Well, they were very surprised and shocked to find out that once that happened, whenever the axe had to fall, and the axes had to fall because fewer and fewer people want to subscribe to a liberal newspaper here in Red State America, and it's white people that do the most, the majority of the purchasing of newspaper subscriptions, their revenues have gone down, the axe had to fall on somebody, and it certainly wasn't going to fall on those new black writers. Instead, all these old white writers got the axe, and they really don't know anything else besides this. You know, working for a living would be too much to ask. So they've gone back into journalism, and they, like the Memphis Flyer, are trying to support themselves by ads to strip clubs and other places. But they keep writing, and there's an article on page 12 of the Memphis News. TCAPS scores, that's the local or the state of Tennessee assessment that's required by the No Child Left Behind Act, George Bush's great contribution to public education. TCAP scores show county-city disparity. The county has majority white public school system, and the city has an 85% black public school system. And what this article shows is that almost 40% of the county school system's students are in the advanced category in every one of the subjects that is measured by the TCAP, and that over 50%, in fact, more like 60 or 70%, are proficient. And this is even though they have a 35% black student population in the county. Now, in the city, where you have an 85% black student population, they are down, they only have 20, they have numbers in the 20 percentile from like 20% to 26% who are merely proficient. Everyone else is below that mark. And it shows you what happens to public education as it browns, as they say. Now, Memphis is unusual in Tennessee, and it is a harbinger of things to come in America. You're going to find that public education has gone, like I said, to hell in a handbasket in Memphis, Tennessee. When I was a child and attended public schools in Memphis, Tennessee, if you went to a private school, that meant you were either a Roman Catholic, a problem child, and probably both. I knew a lot of Roman Catholic kids who went to the public schools because the public schools were the best schools in the community. If you went to a private school, even one of these so-called Tony rich kid schools, it was basically because you needed some help in math or English or in science or in some subject, or you were a conduct problem. And they had small classes. Now, basically, everybody that is not black has either moved out to the county to try to get away from the bad Memphis public schools, or you go to a private school. And this, of course, is an incredible burden on the white population financially, and as a result, it's one of the driving forces behind the low white birth rates throughout America. Places like Memphis, you don't have more kids than you can afford to send to private school. Now, that's what you have to look forward to in Dubuque, Iowa, in Pierre, South Dakota, in Duluth, Minnesota, in Portsmouth, Maine, and all the rest of America that basically when they want to see a black person, they have to turn on the television set right now. It's, you know, let me tell you, there's a hard rain going to fall, as Bob Dylan said, and the times they are changing. That's another one of his big hit songs from the early 60s, and believe me, they are. So buckle up and hold on tight, because things are changing, and believe you me, being here from Memphis, we can tell you that the change is not going to be a change for the better.
All right, folks, stay tuned. We got to take another commercial break, and while you're listening to our ads, I'm going to head down the hall to the green room and get an aspirin. My wife and I got a babysitter last night, and I was reminded this morning that I'm not a teenager anymore. Stay tuned, folks.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, my friends. You know, every time that we do a show, of course, well, I guess at the top of each hour, because we have different affiliates tuning in each hour, and you have the 8 minutes of the national news break. So I kind of reset the table at the top of each hour each week. And opening up the show tonight, my goodness, July 23rd, you know, we're about a week away from August. And then, you know, you're getting into fall. This year flies by as they always do. And, you know, it's been over a year now since the release of my debut book, Racism Schmacism, How Liberals Use the R Word to Push the Obama Agenda. 14 months. When it first came out, it was met with a flood of critical acclaim from all the heavyweights, such as Virginia Abernathy, Paul Gottfried, Kevin MacDonald, Steve Saylor, Alex Kurtigick, the aforementioned from last segment, Richard Spencer, and so many others. Peter Gemma, Jared, right? Yeah, Amran, Vidair. Anybody you'd want to receive a claim from, it seemed that we were fortunate enough to earn it. And it's always rewarding to earn the praise of others in your field. It's even more rewarding, however, to earn the praise of your fans. And as I mentioned, nearly 14 months have passed since the book first went on sale, and it's still making a difference in the eyes of many. I found a brand new review that was posted to the Amazon sales page for Racism Schmacism. And, you know, people, Keith, are coming to know our work. I know it's hard to believe that no one's heard of us after all these years, but there are still some people who haven't heard of the Political Cesspool radio program, and got a brand new review on Amazon, a gentleman who has come to know our work through this book, and that's exciting. I can't tell you how many emails and letters I've received that read very similar to the review that we have posted at our website. The bottom line is, our work on the radio, on the website, and in the book is making a positive difference in people's lives. And there is no praise that can equal the satisfaction that comes from that. Keith, we see it in letters and in emails each week. It's very exciting to know that our labor of love is positively impacting people from around the world. And as the show continues to grow and as more and more come to know our work, more and more people will be able to reach. And of course, we're expanding here fairly soon, picking up more affiliates and getting on shortwave and all this other stuff. So exciting times. And that is in addition to all the other projects we're working on behind the scenes right now. I'm telling you, folks, now is the time to be a fan of the Political Cesspool radio program. The rest of this year is going to be very, very exciting indeed. That being said, we got to get back to Keith. This is his last segment with us during this first hour. Two more hours forthcoming after this. Keith, I asked this question of you a week or two ago. You know, we have a global audience. We have people tuned in from coast to coast on the Liberty News Radio Network, our affiliate stations, and different ports of call across the country. And then, of course, the internet reaching a worldwide audience. Yet, during the first hour, which is the hour that you co-host with me, you seem to have a knack for bringing stories specific related to Memphis, Tennessee, to the attention of our global audience. Remind them again, Keith, why you focus so much on local news to a national and international broadcast audience.
Well, we're a canary in the coal mine here in Memphis. Like I said, we are experiencing now the changes that a lot of people have yet to experience. But believe me, it's coming down the tracks. That light you see down the tunnel is a freight train coming at you at full speed. As they say, demography is destiny, and destiny is changing. Things aren't going to be the way they've always been in large parts of America and Europe. There are demographic changes afoot, and these demographic changes are not just coincidences. They have been planned, and they are being nurtured like a hothouse flower by the left. The left is very interested in bringing non-traditional immigrants into Europe. And likewise, they're interested in changing the demographic makeup of the United States, Australia, New Zealand, every place where white people now predominate, everything that we call the West. And they're going to change us. They're going to change us in a way that most of us would not like to be changed. In fact, even the people, if you want to know where it's all heading, last week we had Alanna Mercer on the show. She can tell you what's happened to South Africa. She's lived it. She's been in it. her father was a proponent for the anti-apartheid movement, the exact change that she has now come to try to warn people against. She's telling the rest of the West, don't go there. Well, we're doing the same thing. We're showing people exactly what happens and the type of disputes and the type of schisms and the type of contentiousness that starts developing in your community when you start enjoying the so-called benefits of diversity, James.
Yeah, I got to share one more email I read. This guy, God bless him, has been supporting the show ever since we first went on the air, it seems, back in 2004. His name is Keith. I guess everybody named Keith is a good guy. And he lives up in Canada. He never misses a show. He donates at least once a month. And he actually sent me in a funny email this week saying that he sent in his most recent donation as a therapeutic method because his most recent girlfriend left him after she found out he was a quote-unquote racist. And of course, you know, this is what we're here to really inform the audience about. I mean, obviously she found out that Keith was a white man. Because if you rely on the modern-day definition of racism, it certainly means, you know, a racist is a white person, any white person, including liberals. You know, they're born racist, and no matter how much they may pander and acquiesce, they're still racist in the eyes of the minorities. And of course, racism is anything a white person does that liberals don't like. So yes, Keith is a racist because he was born white. And this is, you know, just one of many messages that you hear here and only here on the Political Cesspool radio program. Our voice is so unique. And again, it's just so gratifying to know that our work is getting out there and touching a lot of folks, Keith. I know we got only a limited amount of time left, really about 3 minutes. I don't know if that's enough for you to get into your dissertation.
Well, let's get into what is really gnawing at the Memphis school system and the public education here. And that is that the Memphis school system has decided to surrender its charter. Now, why would they do that? It's run by black people, for black people. They have total control of the whole operation now. Why are they surrendering their charter? Well, they're surrendering their charter because they're following the tried and true blueprint, the template that we are always trying to warn people about here at the Political Cesspool. Black people and black politicians are motivated by primarily one idea, and that is, how do you get the white folks' money without capturing the white folks' votes and being outvoted? Well, when the demographics of a community change to such an extent that they don't have to worry about losing at the ballot box anymore, then all the stops are pulled out. That's what this represents with the surrender of the charter of the Memphis school system so that the county will take it over. Well, the county system is only about 30% or 25% of the total student body of Shelby County, which includes Memphis. Memphis is the tail that wags the dog. They know with Voting Rights Act lawsuits and voting right principles at play that once they surrender their charter, basically they're going to be in charge of this new reconstituted countywide system, which includes the Memphis school system. It's going to be the tail wagging the dog, to use another modern phrase or current phrase. And they're going to be in charge. They're just going to have access to more of the white people's money out in the county. Of course, they are now professing and pleading innocent that they intend to start busing these kids from the county into the city and from the city out to the county. But watch, hide and watch. Watch them forget this promise as time goes by, and they're now going to capture all the money out in the county. You know, there's this parasite-host relationship that we keep bringing up. Don't kill the dog or all the fleas will die. When they have killed a dog, when they finally cause a dog to sicken and die and all the white people have left the community, they start looking around furiously trying to find another dog, these fleas do, to jump on, and that's what's happened in Memphis. Memphis is looking for a white dog to jump on, and they're jumping on the nearest one, which is Shelby County. Now, what's going to happen when that dog, too, sickens and dies? Well, what's going to happen is exactly what we predict will happen. they're going to all of a sudden discover the virtues of metro government, quote unquote. Metro government allows them to go beyond the county line and capture the white flight suburbs, the places where white people have flown to because they don't like being used. They don't like being milked through the fence by these black politicians in places like Memphis to support extravagant public schools. And again, you know, basically the Memphis public school system, the dirty little secret is it doesn't exist for the benefit of the black students there. It exists primarily for the benefit of the black adults that work there. It's a huge government trough of jobs, and that's what they want, and they want your money to finance it. Coming to a neighborhood near you soon, folks. This is what's happening in Memphis, and this is what you have to look for in your future.
Ladies and gentlemen, give a big round of applause to TPC co-host Keith Alexander for his services this first hour. First hour is now up, but 2 hours still forthcoming this evening. We'll be talking about the bombing in Oslo, Norway, and much, much more. Stay tuned. We'll be back the next hour.
In the First Baptist Church, in that sleeping little town of Pascagoula, it was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the blooms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room, all the way down to the amen.